Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, before we hop into talking all things shoulders, don't forget that we do have a shoulder plan on Gen Health, which will take you through exactly what to do every single day, not more than 10 to 15 minutes. And you can get started for free. Try it out. We have a free week offer, which we've never had on any program before. So we're going to have the link in the show notes, gen.health, or you could just type it into your browser, gen.health. We really highly recommend just checking it out. So many plans for different areas of the body, and we hope that you find relief within your system. So let's get into the episode.
All right, biceps tendonitis, and here's another one of these itises, another one of these inflammatory injuries. Now talking about the biceps, we've done this for a lot of different muscles or tendons, and I feel like we'll start to notice a similar theme here, but later on in the podcast, we're going to be talking about the specific exercises and kind of the progression of how you should deal with this to be able to heal long term from something like this.
Exactly. And we did talk in depth on like the what we're now saying is a tendinosis tendinopathy rather than a tendonitis. So if you want to understand the science behind why this language is changing and why calling it an inflammation injury of the tendon isn't really indicative of what's happening and how we should be treating it. So we talked about that in episode 18.
Almost 200 episodes ago.
That was a long time ago. So I know it's quite a bit to scroll back on, but if you want to just, it was just a quick synopsis of, you know, understanding tendonitis isn't what we're treating anymore. It's really...
Yeah. Those are the episodes that when I go back to, I feel like I cringe a little bit just because I'm sure
whatever.
It doesn't sound...
They were great. Go listen to
they're
it.
They're great. They're great. And we say that and I don't remember the last time I've listened to episode 18, but...
I know.
I think really it just points out, like Jen was saying, that are these diagnoses actually inflammatory? Like, well, there's always inflammation going on. And I think what we start to realize is that it's the chronic presence of that inflammation and then the chronic degeneration or misaligned, you know, healing of that tendon that results in this more chronic condition, which we would call a tendinopathy or a change in the tendon.
Exactly. So when we're talking about treating biceps tendonitis, we have to be thinking about the degeneration of that collagen that happened in the tendon and how do we start to regenerate that and rebuild so that it ends up being stronger. So when we're looking at like who this commonly happens to, it's really in that younger athletic population, a lot with overhead activities. Surprise, surprise. Baseball, volleyball, softball, anything that's kind of throwing overhead and going into that flexion. And then we're kind of slowing down, you know, into that hand turning under, which is called our pronation. And that bicep actually does flexion of the elbow, so bending the elbow in, but it also rotates that forearm up to the ceiling or that hand up.
Supinates. And I always think about making a cup of soup.
We always talked about holding soup.
Cup of soup, and then you pro it away when you pronate. You pro it out. Just some funny PT school jokes.
Oh,
or not so funny. I don't know if anyone...
But you had biceps tendonitis a little bit.
And I think it's really indicative of what we were reading about how this comes along a lot with like rotator cuff injuries or rotator cuff itises or inflammations because just like in that throwing population, the rotator cuff helps slow down the upper arm. When we're throwing, it helps to kind of decelerate that upper arm. The same way the biceps is really involved, it's getting one, that traction to it, but also our forearm is pronating or our palm is going towards the ground as we throw, and our biceps is really like trying to say, hey, slow down or control that motion. So if you go and pitch, or I was a catcher in baseball, so I'm throwing, you know, sometimes up to 100 pitches back to the mound every game or a couple real hard ones down if I'm throwing down to second base, and you'd wake up the next day and you'd say, oh man, I just had throbbing from all the way around my shoulder. And then you get this pain kind of in the front of your shoulder because your biceps, it actually attaches two place two places. That's why we get the bi, because there's two heads of the biceps. One of them attaches on this long bone on your arm called your humerus, or your upper arm, and then the other one attaches all the way kind of at the top of your scapula, actually, kind of where the ball of your humerus or your arm goes into the shoulder blade.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so that's where we're really looking at that long head, that long tendon of that biceps, yeah, that's crossing not only just up into the upper arm, but it's actually crossing that shoulder joint, which mm-hmm. is causing some of that constant rubbing, that constant friction that you get in those overhead activities. And so all of a sudden, you know, you start to get like a thickening of the tendon, a thickening of the tissue. Maybe you're getting some swelling. Obviously, if you're getting some thickening of some tissue, then it's increasing that diameter of the tendon, which takes up space. Yes. So all of a sudden, we start taking up a little bit more space around that shoulder. We're going to get rubbing. We're going to get irritation and pain. And mm-hmm. that's why traditionally, I think what I would see in the clinic a lot too, was, you know, treating this as that inflammation, that thickening, like, oh, let's reduce that thickening. Then let's get some laser treatment on it. Let's get some just cross friction massage. Let's get some ultrasound. But what we're really seeing is what heals tendons isn't direct what we're going to do at that tendon for inflammation. Mm-hmm. It's really what we're going to do at that tendon to start to reverse some of the damage and then start to heal it. So that's really what we, you know, are going to go into with the exercises.
Yeah. When you talk about the thickening of that tendon, like along with the thickening, what's happening is our body is responding to all the inflammation or the, you know, the load that's put on that tendon. And it's saying, hey, we need more tendon here, mm-hmm. but it just doesn't have time or the right messaging to build that tendon in an organized manner. So if we imagine our tendon as a bunch of these threads all sitting in one line with each other and working and sliding past each other nicely, as that tendon thickens, like just imagine like the meshing of a basket or something mm-hmm. where they're all kind of disorganized and going in a different way. How do we start to give that tendon a different message to lay down a little bit differently? And we talk about athletes a lot because I think that's the extreme example of where we see it and we can see it pretty reliably, but you'll also see things like this in working populations, anybody who works overhead, mm-hmm. you know,
manual labor,
any different type of manual labor that you're carrying things a lot, working overhead, needing to throw things, working on a farm, tossing hay bales, anything that's going to add that load and have you using your arms with any sort of force or velocity.
And if you've had shoulder injuries in the past too, you're kind of more prone to falling into this pattern of tendonitis as well, yeah, or tendinopathy, more so what's happening in that bicep, that front of the shoulder. And you can get that pain in the front of the shoulder. It can also feel like it kind of radiates down toward the elbow, mm-hmm. Especially when you're getting that constant pain, that constant irritation. So you kind of, yes, it's right in the front, but it can kind of come down. It might even be associated sometimes with like clicking or popping noises, especially if we have some instability around that whole shoulder girdle. So the shoulder blade and the shoulder itself, maybe we're having some instability, we're having some pain. So all of these things, you know, kind of, if you're having these symptoms, more pain at rest, maybe you get more pain at night, all of these can be indicative to kind of having this bicep tendinopathy happening.
All right, I just want to pause the chat on biceps for a second to talk about one of our favorite in-home tools that you can use to get an amazing resistance workout, and now it's improved. The Kobo Board has come up with the Kobo Board Plus that has extra attachment points, extra bands, more handles, so you can get a better upper body resistance workout in. With the biceps and with rehab of biceps tendons, we're going to talk about that eccentric control, especially with bands. Kobo Board Plus is perfectly tailored to be able to get you that eccentric, that lengthening control to rehab your biceps, along with doing other upper body workouts like shoulder presses, rows, so much more. Jen and I share it a lot on our own Instagram pages. If you want to check that out now, you can go down to the link in the show notes, click that, and use code OPTIMAL to get 10% off your new Kobo Board Plus. It's a small device that fits anywhere in your home, doesn't involve any heavy, cumbersome equipment, and you can get an incredible resistance workout in. Link in the show notes. Make sure you use code OPTIMAL at checkout. Now let's head back into the PT Pearl. the real question is,
what do we do?
What do we do? So what? All this stuff is great. Yeah. What the heck do we do? And
rest,
you know,
ice and
rest ice and throw a laser on it. No, we do want to control pain.
Yes.
You know, that's always kind of the caveat, is like, we do want to control pain as we start to try and reintroduce the stimulus that's going to help this tendon build in an organized manner and get back to doing the work it should do without having such a dramatic pain response or swelling response. And so how do we start to do that? Yeah, we want to keep our pain down. We were looking some places, it says keep it between, you know, a 3 and a 0 if you're ranking your pain on a scale of 1 to 10. Some places said, oh, you can go up to 5 as long as it's tolerable and not uncontrolled.
Right. And so that's like the kind of where we got to play in this, you know, and that's what makes it a little bit more difficult, is that we're not just looking at like complete rest. We are looking at activity modification. So how can I modify what I'm doing a little bit in order to reduce some of that tension and that pain? So we want to keep moving, but you also don't want to push through pain. Yeah. You don't want to push it too extreme. Right. So it's like it's starting to find that line for you, which is why it's always so important also that there's no just, we're going to kind of outline what you can start with. However, no one is, you know, all the same. And it really depends on where you're at in your healing and what you're needing. So you got to listen to your body as we start to talk about some of these things.
And that's where it comes, when it comes to pain modulation, that's where I guess if I'm going to give my personal opinion, I think it's okay to use some different things like manual therapies, like dry needling. I mean, heck, throw some heat and cold on there. We have episodes on those and what they actually do. And they actually can be very powerful pain modulators. But you just shouldn't be using that as the sole like pain modulator or after the activity if you're still getting a dramatic pain response. And then you're using massage or cold or heat to deal with that pain. That's not what we're talking about here.
Right. Because that's only working at the symptom level. That's putting the band-aid on it, right? Which is okay, again, for activity modification. Say you have to work, you have to lift overhead, you know, you can't do too much. So it's like, okay, how can I start to reduce these symptoms as I continue to work on some of those things? So first of all, when we're talking about tendon reloading and that's how the tendon heals, I think, ultimately, is what we need to take away from this, right? Is that it does heal from loading, but proper loading. So we initially want to start with what we call isometrics, which is just not moving in the muscle. It's holding tension at one steady state. So, and we want to think about this in mid-range. So you're not pulling a weight all the way up and holding in a super contracted state, but maybe we're doing a bicep curl at a mid-range, and maybe even to take pressure off of that supination, that rotating the forearm up, we're doing it more in a neutral position where your palm and your kind of like your thumb, your pointer fingers up toward the ceiling, and you're holding a weight or resistance band or pressing from your own hand, kind of holding that tension to what feels like it goes, you feel it, you know, it elicits like a little bit of symptoms, but it doesn't go over that 3 or 5 marker.
Absolutely. And isometrics, like you mentioned, can be done in many different ways.
Yeah.
And then even like, okay, that starts to become easy. You're doing a set of 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 2 or 3 times, you know, a day. Now, maybe we do go into that supinated position and then try it. See if that does anything different. And then you can try it at different angles. You know, maybe you're not right at that 90. Maybe you're going a little bit more extended, maybe a little more flexed. And when you do these isometrics, they do a couple things. It has an analgesic response, meaning that it helps with pain even more as we comfortably load in that 3 to 5 pain range. And it really is going to help, even though we're only doing isometrics at 90, there are studies that show that it will help with building strength within like a 10-degree, you know, radius on either side of that. So you're not only technically training in that 90, it's going to be giving you results in a little bit more of an arc.
And then as we start to progress from there and you're starting to feel better, you feel like, okay, my pain is going down. I'm feeling stronger in these positions. I'm feeling like I can lift a little bit more weight at a steady state. Well, then we go into that eccentric phase. So this is the loading in a lengthened position. So that means, and this is so easy to think about with the bicep curl, right? So I'm going to hold a weight and I'm going to, or a resistance band. Again, you don't have to start with a heavy weight. It's just like, it could be a resistance band. And that weight or what Dom is doing and kind of showing for those listening is he's putting pressure from his other hand and putting pressure as he lowers into that extended position. So that is the low that you're getting in that lengthening. And then especially if you do have a weight or resistance band, use that hand to then help it back up. So you're not working on that concentric contracting phase. You're only working on the load and controlling down in that lengthening phase. And you know, they say to do this for at least 1 to 2 weeks, which for some can feel like, I just want to do bicep curls. I just want to do the full thing, right? Well, if you allow yourself time to actually start to build this up, you might notice that you are progressing in weight and it doesn't feel as painful. It's not it's not giving you as many irritations, so that when you go into like that full bicep curl, or maybe that full bicep curl in different ranges with your shoulder a little bit higher, you know, you're going to get less tension, less pain, less pressure, which is how we want to progress with this tendon.
Yeah. And kind of bringing it into the real world, like it's always easy to talk about these processes, like as if we're in a lab and like you need to do this, this, and this, and this. Well, for some people it's like, okay, well, I can't stop working. And it seems like work is the thing that has elicited, you know, my symptoms. If you just implement one or two of these things, whether it's, hey, let's do a few sets of these isometrics and then maybe do 5 reps of eccentrics at morning and at night, then it will just start to give you that patterning and it'll give the tendon the loading to be like, okay, let's start laying down collagen and tissues a little more intelligently. Mm-hmm. And you might even notice that that makes the difference and you change nothing else at work. Same with an athlete, like someone who pitches in baseball, like I'm thinking of friends of mine who just, their arm is chronically sore. Their arm is always, you know, sore. They get to their next start, you know, where you're supposed to have about 4 or 5 days rest, and they have that rest and they get to the next start. They're just like, oh, well, let's let's go for it, you know? Where if you just implement a couple of these things, it might make the difference.
Right, exactly. So after we go and we are progressing, you know, now we're not just doing eccentrics, we're doing the contracted phase and the lengthened phase and controlling. This is all about going slow. So we're not trying to get, you know, at first you want to get higher reps. So higher reps, lower load. So if you're going into that full motion, can I do 15 at a lower load? And then, okay, that's starting to feel okay. Now let's do 10, you know, reps. Maybe I'm doing 10 pounds rather than 5 pounds. So you're kind of like progressing in that manner, in that state. Maybe you're trying to do it when you're bent over a little bit and your arm is a little bit further out, or you're just trying to get into different ranges of motion, getting that arm a little bit higher overhead, you know, to try to start to load that tendon in a more flexed overhead position, which is where people are usually getting hurt. And then the last step from that is working on what we call plyometrics. So this is, you could do this with throwing a ball. You could do this with just little ball tosses against a wall. Like that's a pretty popular one.
Yeah, I think there's many different ways that you can start to get back to that. Because, you know, once we've done the load, like, okay, well, I got this injury when I was throwing my arm as hard as I possibly could. Right. And so, like, how can I start to inch back up to that? And like Jen said, tennis ball against the wall, there are some deceleration exercises where I've seen someone, they'll throw a ball and you need to catch it and decelerate your arm, or throw a little weighted whatever, dumbbell would be a little bit dangerous, but I've seen people do it with dumbbells.
They have little weighted balls.
Probably. Filling my friends always used to do this, they'd fill like a Gatorade bottle with sand and they'd use that as like a different little thing to do some exercises with their arms. So that's kind of the last step. I guess not necessarily the last step, because we need to talk about everything else that plays into and puts impact on the biceps, which is anything that touches your shoulder blade.
Yep.
Because that's where your bicep tendon is attaching into. So first and foremost, doing shoulder blade control stuff. Because if your shoulder blade is all over the place, that's going to be having a big impact on that long head of the biceps. Yep. And so making sure we're doing shoulder retraction, protraction, elevation, depression, understanding how you can move those shoulder blades and how that shoulder blade is acting when you're doing that activity, when you're working, when you're pitching or playing volleyball.
Yeah, exactly. We also want to make sure that we're not so tight in the front of the chest. So like Dom said, anything that connects into that shoulder, right? That's your pec. Like a lot of people are on your phones. You're, even if you're in school or you're an athlete or you're working, maybe you're working at a desk, but then also doing manual labor. I mean, that's all forward position. So are we doing things to open up the chest and reduce that tension and pressure in the front of the pecs as well? Are you working your entire pillar from your core, right? Like that's something we talk about a lot in our programs. Is our core is not just our front of our abs, right? But it goes all the way from our shoulder blades to our pelvis. And so how are we controlling our trunk in exercise, in range of motion? How can we, I mean, even if you're just going into planks and you're pressing as hard as you can from your shoulder blades without rounding in the back, that is a scapular exercise, a core exercise, and it's getting kind of that entire tissue without putting as much tension actually on the front of the chest. We're trying to push a little bit more from the shoulder blade. We're trying to use the entire front of your trunk to help assist. So, you know, when we start to implement all these little things back into looking at a bigger picture of a small area that might be hurting, we actually can help to promote long-term change and actually create something that's not going to just keep coming back time after time after time. Thanks for joining us on another episode. As you know, we do have a shoulder plan that is 4 weeks long in the Gen Health platform. So if you haven't checked it out yet, please go to gen.health, not .com, not anything else, gen.health, and go check it out, because we're going to have all of these components that we talk about at the end of the episode that really help to build that resilient shoulder. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.